Potty training is a big step for both kids and their parents, and being prepared for the right tools and knowing how to use them can be a big help, especially when potty training two kids at once. What are the potty training essentials, and what seems to work best for twin parents? We turn to our parent panelists to learn more about their personal experience. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2. Welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. And I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Now, we know twin parents are very busy, so you can download the Twin Talks app available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows Marketplace. If you want to have our episodes delivered straight to you, then subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, and each new episode will automatically download to your mobile device. I want to turn this over to Sunny, who's going to talk about our virtual panelist program.
Thank you, Christine. So, yes, for everyone who's not here in our studio here in San Diego, there's a great way to participate in our shows. It's through a virtual panelist program. So what I'm going to be doing throughout the show and what I do before we record the shows and even after is I go on social media. So our Facebook page, our Twitter page, I am posting questions that a lot of you guys have had that you guys have sent us regarding the episodes and the topics that we're talking about. If you guys want to ask questions to our experts, you're more than welcome to do so. We want to continue this conversation online as much as possible. So like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. We're using the hashtag TwinTalksVP. The VP stands for virtual panelist. And I'm going to hop on right now, take some pictures, and start the conversation.
All right. Well, let's jump into this and let's get started and introduce ourselves. So I'll introduce myself. I'm your host, and I've got identical girls who are now 5.5 years old in kindergarten. So our potty training experience was not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And then I do have a singleton girl who's 2.5, and we've been doing this potty training thing for the last year now. So,
oh boy.
So this is near and dear to my heart.
So are you making progress with it then?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. And let's jump over. Let's see. Brandy. We've got Brandy on the phone.
Hello. I am Brandy Wallace. I am the happy, proud mother of two sets of twins. I have identical boys that are 5.5. Same age as Christine's girls, but mine are not yet in kindergarten because of where their birthday fell. And I also have fraternal boy-girl twins that are also 2.5, like Christine Singleton. And we have not even started down the potty training road the second time around. So we're coming on that upon that intersection right now.
Yes. And I mean, considering you have more boys and girls, and I think we'll talk about that, Maybe the difference.
Yeah.
And Sunny, over to you.
All right. So I have 4 children myself. My oldest is about to go into kindergarten in September, a boy. So he'll be 5 in July. And my middle guy is just turned 3. And then I have identical twin girls who are about 18 months. And so 18 months seems a little early to me to start potty training. They are girls, so I don't know. Maybe they have a little edge up because they're girls. Yeah, I've heard that a lot, but my experience has been with boys not having the edge up, per se. And so we have not gone down that path. I'm actually in the process of potty training my 3-year-old. So I've got potty training experience, not so much with twins, but I'll definitely be taking notes during this episode.
All right.
Okay, so before we start today's show, we are going to talk about a news headline, and we like to find headlines that are online, kind of making the rounds, obviously specifically having to do with twins and multiples, and this one I thought was really inspirational. I think it really talks about the bond between twins and how they can really help one another out. This headline says, 3-month-old Tot cried to save her twin brother's life after he stopped breathing in his sleep. So the twins were basically sleeping together, boy-girl twins. And I should say that they were way premature. When they were born at 25 weeks. and very, very tiny, not even 2 pounds. This happened when they were 3 months old, and the little girl, her name is Amy, her twin brother, Jake, just stopped breathing, and I call it intuition. She kind of knew something was wrong, and she started crying. And fortunately, the parents heard it right away, and the husband, Chris, was actually trained to resuscitate a baby. It doesn't really say why. Maybe he was a medic of some sort, or maybe just had some CPR training. Husband woke up, went in. He said the baby's lips were blue. Like everything we just totally cringe on when we think of SIDS and all the things that can happen. But it was because his sister cried that the dad woke up, came in, they took the baby to the hospital, and the baby ended up surviving and is okay. And I'm sure the parents are still on edge. I'm sure they've got monitors galore in their house, you know, trying to prevent accidents like this from happening. But I thought it was, again, just a really nice story to, you know, showcase, you know, how twins kind of take care of one another in ways that we don't necessarily always see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that is an amazing story. And to me, I mean, that just illustrates like how close and in tune, I mean, twins are. You know, I mean, you think about right. it, you hear all these studies about how twins are aware of each other in the womb. And I mean, I truly believe that, I mean, they know, I mean, they're communicating on a, you know, a nonverbal level, and then there's this sense of well-being. I mean, you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, pets have that sense of well-being. Well, I mean, you can imagine for humans.
Right, right.
I mean, so much more intense. So I'm sure that at some level, you know, here she is a three-month-old, well, you know, yeah. age-adjusted probably, right? You know, nine-month-old baby.
Right.
And just, she just somehow knew there's, you know, and that's just instinctive. I mean, I'm mind boggled.
It turns out that her little brother, Jake, medics found that his lung had collapsed and he was also fighting 3 infections.
Oh my gosh.
And Brandy, I'm sure you see, you know, with your twins, just kind of how they support each other and, you know, just help each other out.
Oh, absolutely. The younger set right now are, they're still in their crib. And if, you know, one is upset, the other calls for me and says, you know, calls out, you know, my sister or my brother's name. Mommy, you know, so-and-so needs you. She needs, you know, fill in the blank. He especially really takes care of her.
Yeah.
And lets me know what she needs. And the other day she started to cry because she was upset and he looked at her and he started crying too, as if he felt her pain.
Right.
And wanted to cry right along with her.
And then you wanted to cry because they were crying.
Always.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Potty training is an important milestone in your twin's life, and considering how many diapers twin parents go through on any given day, it's easy to see why. Today we're learning about the gear and logistics used by many twin parents as they begin this daunting challenge. So, of course, probably the biggest thing we all start off with is some form of a potty chair. You know, we're talking about those little, either the tiny little bowl kind of, I guess, you know, Bjorn sort of, you know, almost they're like large cups, I would say, or to the more elaborate, you know, little seats that, I mean, I know I've got some that they play music when the kids pee.
Nice.
So, you know, I got them as a secondhand through people in our twins club, which is great since, you know, you're not using them for such a long period. And I know in my case, we found that having them was a really big help because it just brought everything down to their level. Mm-hmm. So when we're in the process of teaching them to pull down their pants and try to be independent. It was one less thing to worry about. Okay, they have to climb up and, you know, do things that are maybe size-wise. This was just right there on their level.
Actually, with my first set, we went with the minimalist approach. Having twins, we have enough gear and things in our house, and I thought, I'm going to try and make this as realistic as possible, because if we're out and about, they're not going to have a little baby potty chair. So we just went straight to the big person toilet, and we had one of the seat adapters that folds out of the lid that they could pull down. And I think we went to Home Depot and bought it. It's $30 or something. So we had a whole new toilet seat, and it has a little child seat that folds out of the lid, and they would use that. And we didn't have any extra gear. Now, the second time around, I feel like we're probably going to go the opposite route, because just logistically, I now have four children needing to use one toilet. So I think I just number-wise am going to need extra kid potties standalone sitting around the bathroom.
So you're talking about like seats. You need to have places for the little bums to put themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a consideration. Definitely. You know, now I have to say, I think with the potty chair, I mean, that is an advantage, because, you know, generally, I mean, at least I don't know. I haven't seen any bathrooms in, you know, people's homes that where they have more than one toilet, although maybe for twins that is, you know, an idea.
Well, no, you say that in jest, but I'm friends with a triplet mom who just remodeled a home that they're living in, and her husband was really pushing for a urinal in the, they have triplet boys. He was pushing for a urinal in their bathroom, and they opted against it. And the mom says, I really kind of regret that decision. I wish I had had it now.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I could see that totally. But it's a urinal, like the idea at least was a urinal and then a potty, right? So not two potties or toilets.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, no, that's right.
And they actually
smart.
They even have a trough sink with three little spouts in it for the boys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, that.
If I could customize my bathroom, I would be thinking along the one right now.
The bathroom designed for multiples.
Well, so here's my take on that. So, again, I have a almost 5-year-old that I have potty trained. Woohoo! And I have a 3-year-old that is going through the process. And so I haven't entered the twin area yet. But I will say that up to this point, we have used what Brandy basically described. So what, I don't know, online they call them a seat reducer or like a potty seat. And we did the same thing. We went to like Home Depot or something like that, and it's something that actually fits on the seat. I guess you can get a couple different styles. So ours actually like screws into the seat and is bolted in there or something like that. So it's like you lift up, you know, if you were to lift up the toilet lid, right? So you've got that layer. And then there's like another little baby thing that you can lift up. So it's kind of like multiple layers. So, you know, any adult could use it and be fine too. They just have to lift up that little baby seat and it would go behind them just like the toilet lid would go behind you if you're sitting on the toilet, right?
And I think now what you're talking about, it's built in so you can actually close the toilet lid completely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that worked really, really well for us, at least for the two boys, right? But I didn't have babies that needed to go potty at the same time. But it has worked really well, especially now when my 5-year-old goes to the bathroom, my 3-year-old almost always wants to go with him. It's kind of like show and tell. I don't know. He wants to kind of see what's going on. And I never had that issue of, you know, two boys wanting to go at the exact same time. I can feel that coming on with my girls, though. You know, I can, because whenever one does something, the other wants to do it.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to have to adjust, kind of like Brandy, I'm going to have to adjust my way of thinking here. But my concern with just the potty chair, so if I didn't, you know, do this seat reducer thing and I just went with potty chairs, I just feel like that's so much more to pick up. And I'm already, maybe it's no worse than diapers, honestly. I just feel like I'm like touching stuff I don't want to touch all day long. Already.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the dumping and disposing. Yeah. No, I hear you. Definitely. Now, I will say, and, you know, in my case with the girls, I mean, now my girls are just very social creatures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we had the little potty seats, They would sit there and they would, I mean, like for a while we had it kind of in our kitchen area over, I should not say kitchen, but the eating area. So it was just convenient for them. It was in a public space and they could just go sit down and they would sit there, I mean, you know, together and they'd read books and they'd talk. And it was like, I mean, it was, you know, think fast forward going to the bathroom together. It all starts here.
And
they were entertaining each other. And I think now I see with my singleton, you know, she does sit on the potty seat, but I have to go entertain her. So I think there might be an advantage of having the two being able to sit there, you know,
in a public, but you know what I'm saying? Like in an area where most people just kind of sit and chat.
Kind of off to the side. Yeah.
So not necessarily in a bathroom.
Right. Exactly. So you can have them in an area where you can see them, you could supervise them. And because I've found that sometimes, at least in my case, I end up, you know, sitting with my singleton. I mean, it could be 20 minutes. It could be 40.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're like on your phone. You're like, I'm so bored. Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I would say if you do elect to get the potty chairs, definitely get two of them. I mean, it's so then they're not fighting over it.
Right. Right.
If you are going to use the big potty, then, of course, you need step stools. So what did you guys use for stools?
So this was kind of interesting in our house. I started with one step stool. But I think not only did we need it for the seat reducer thing, you know, that we had, but we also needed it for them to be able to reach the sink.
Yes.
You know, to wash their hands and stuff like that. So I think regardless of whatever potty you go with, I think you're probably going to need a step stool. We just went to IKEA and they have some really we use plastic simply because it's easy to wash. And especially when you're talking about little boys trying to learn to go potty, there's a lot of spilling and missing the toilet. And it's just the thought of not having plastic to easily wipe stuff off just totally grosses me out. So that's what we used. It just has some grip stuff at the top. Super. I think we paid less than $5 for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And how about you? I mean, Brandy, I mean, of course, with boys as well.
I never considered a porous surface like wood. Ever. For anything, really. not with all of these kids. We also had the plastic. So we've done different versions, different kinds. One had a little handle so they could move it from here to there or situate it. And then we just went with something cheap and easy because that's all that we really needed.
Yeah.
Now,
you know, I have to say, I don't know if we overdid it, but we've got like step stools galore in our house. You get a lot of use out of them.
You do. You get tons of use out of it. And I like the idea of having something available in each bathroom if you have the space, because those stools, you know, even if they collapse, then you got to worry about it uncollapsing on a child or, you know what I mean? There's always something.
Yeah.
There's always a danger of pinching a finger.
Yes. So. Oh my gosh. Even for mommies out there, man.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Let's talk toilet paper. When we switch over from diapers to the potty, you know, I mean, you use diapers, you're generally using wipes, which helps, you know, get their little bums, you know, clean. And then, you know, hopefully eventually we can get over to them using toilet paper on their own, but that does take a while. So how has that been for you? I mean, did you do a hard cut over, or did you continue using wipes and in sort of in helping them learn how to, you know, clean themselves?
We had sort of two different purposes. Well, first of all, number one is that when they're using the big potty and they get to be in that magical place called the bathroom that they were pretty limited on exposure to up until that point, they were enthralled with toilet paper. They wanted to use toilet paper because it was new and it was round and on a roll and all that fun stuff. So we actually had a toilet paper for wet and dirty. They could use the flushable wipes because, again, that's a familiar feeling for them since they'd already been you know, exposed to diaper wipes and things like that. And so we actually had to put a limit on, because I know everybody has this problem with how much toilet paper is too much toilet paper. We limited them to the number of squares for the number of years they were old.
Oh, okay.
And again, like my first set were three, and three squares on a small bottom is plenty.
Right. Yep.
And they had fun counting it out also. And of course, if they needed more than that, we went to the flushable wipes. Another tip too with the toilet paper, instead of the number of squares, depending on where your toilet paper roll is mounted or, you know, how high it is off the ground, we've also allowed them at their grandmother's house to unroll the toilet paper until it touches the floor. because it was a short, it wasn't that long of a distance, but it was something fun for them to unroll and roll and stop. And then now you can tear. So just FYI.
I like that too. You know, I actually got rid of toilet paper in at least their own bathroom. I still don't trust any of them really with toilet paper. We do have the flushable wipes that we keep right next to the toilet. And what I found for whatever reason is that they respect that more than toilet paper. Toilet paper is just fun to just play with and run with all around the house. But when you're talking about like wet wipes, I don't know, for some reason that's not as fun to mess around with. And so, you know, I honestly, this may be a little bit TMI, but I still have to take care of my almost 5-year-old in that department of wiping and stuff like that. You know, but the wipes really help. And like I said, I don't think he feels like as clean with just using the regular toilet paper. So the wipes are a must in our house. But don't use the ones, you know, just for the regular diaper stuff. If you use disposable wipes for that, because that can clog your toilet. So there are specific wipes out there that for some reason are flushable and fine, right? So just look for that on the packaging.
Okay.
Save your plumbing.
Yeah. Okay, hand soap, which, you know, I know it's not a big deal, but, you know, sometimes it can add to the fun experience of, you know, kids in their bathroom experience. I don't know, did anybody use anything that was kind of fun or foaming or scented?
We actually didn't use any of the foams or that doesn't. My boys had a problem, and even the babies, the younger two now, have a problem with wanting to use too much soap. So my way around that was just finding a dispenser that was pretty hard for them to get the soap out of. They could get enough, but not too much.
Smart.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about the gear that can help you prepare your twins for their potty training experience. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. Today, we're talking with our twin parents about what potty training gear worked best for them when potty training their twins. We talked about some items that you might need in the bathroom. So let's talk about some items specifically for your twins. Okay, so how about for the, you know, big kid underwear? Was that an incentive for your twins? I know, like I told my girls that we want to look, you know, big kids wear panties. and our big incentive was when, you know, you can go for, I think we said like five days without having any kind of accident, then you get to get some Dora panties. That was the big, you know, the big reward.
Yeah. I can say it worked with my boys. My boys just love, you know, because we have the superhero, just any kind, and Thomas the Train and Elmo and all of that. And you know, my 3-year-old today would be like, I want to wear Elmo underwear, you know, and he wakes me up first thing in the morning because he wears the training pants at night. Still, we're not ready. I am so not ready to take that leap yet overnight or naps. But first thing in the morning, he wants, you know, the training pants off and he wants his Elmo underwear on. And it doesn't matter if it's 7 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning was this morning. But yeah, huge incentive in my house.
Yes. How about you, Brandy?
We had the same scenario. Finding that character that they love so much. Actually, when we were trying to get them to understand the whole potty training process, we would let them wear the undies over their diaper for a little bit. And then once they understood that you could actually wear these without the diaper, that was an even bigger incentive for them. So yeah, same thing. We did the exact same thing you're talking about.
Oh, cool.
Oh my gosh, Brandy. It's so funny you said that because so my boys go to preschool, right? And a couple times my 3-year-old has come home with training pants underneath and an underwear on top. And I was so perplexed by this. I'm like, did they forget to take the diaper off? What is going on? And now it totally makes sense that you said that. I had no idea it was the way to train them.
Wow.
And you mentioned training pants. I want to say, too, we went through different phases of types of underwear for a while because we never used the plastic lined panties that they have because, you know, we wanted them to feel the wetness and to feel uncomfortable and make them, you know, motivate the potty, you know, if that was going to happen. Of course, we had a whole different route, but we were prepared for that. But then we ended up getting the... I don't even know if they're called training pants, but they had a thicker front to them so that if they just didn't quite get there in time, it wouldn't completely soak themselves. It wasn't like they wet themselves, but it had a little bit thicker front to them. before we graduated to the really thin cotton ones.
Did you also use pull-ups? I mean, in kind of in progressing, I mean, if you go from, let's just say you're using disposable diapers to the training, did you use pull-ups, you know, before you got to the training pants?
Let me think. Did we? I know that we used pull-ups for nap and bed for the sleeping time.
Right.
But we didn't use pull-ups during waking hours. So no, we never used those during the regular day, just nap and bed. And then of course the nap time went away and we still used them at night for a long while.
Kind of the same thing. I mean, we were using cloth diapers and, you know, they could take them off themselves, but couldn't quite put them back on. So we thought, okay, you know, they needed to move to training pants. So we did the kind of cloth, kind of what you're talking, the thick sort of just plain old Gerber training pants. And when it was pretty much when they got to the point where, you know, they could go for several hours, you know, without wetness. And then, yeah, we use pull-ups, disposables kind of at nighttime. How about, you know, for rewards and incentives? I mean, did you use any kind of, you know, charts or, I don't know, stickers, jelly beans? How did you, what was your motivating factor?
Well, for us, the motivating factor, and my advice for any parent is find their currency. What does it for your kid? Because mine never responded to sticker charts or, you know, prizes or things like that. My children were motivated by candy.
Yeah.
You're here.
So the day that we were training, we actually used the four hours on that one day, we used M&Ms for them.
Yep.
And we had them check to see if they were clean and dry, like every 20 minutes. We didn't reward them for going to the potty right away. We rewarded them for checking if they were clean and dry. Then they got a little M&M. And then if they went to the potty, they got an extra one.
That's a smart way.
Like I said, my kids couldn't make the connection between feeling the pressure and getting to the potty. So once we kept checking for clean and dry, because that's really the end result we all want anyway, then they understood it. But I very quickly realized that, you know, we started at 8 a.m. and by noon we were done. But I also realized that by noon I wasn't parenting my children anymore. I was parenting the chocolate. So the very next day we switched to, I think, gummy bears or something. a lot less, you know, stuff for them. And it was pointed out to me later, and I adapted this maybe like on day two or three, to fill up a clear jar with their treats in it. If you're going to go the treat route, fill up a clear jar for each of them so they each have their own. And when the jar is empty, you're potty trained and you know what to do. You don't get the treats anymore.
Oh, that's smart. Because, yeah, that's always the question is when do you end? You know what I mean? Like, because then they just start to
expect
it.
They knew what to expect. They kept watching the jar get smaller and smaller.
Right.
And they knew.
Oh, that's a good idea. Brandy, have you heard about putting M&Ms, especially for boys, in the toilet as an aiming technique? Did you try that at all, or was that just wasteful M&Ms?
Well, I've heard of Sink the Cheerio. I've heard of that game, not M&Ms. I've heard of Sink the Cheerio. but with my boys, when they trained, we trained them that when you're learning to potty, boys sit to pee.
Yes.
We trained them to sit because I wasn't even a prepared to clean up the messes that would come from a standing trainer.
You know, it's funny that, you know, my now almost 5-year-old, that's all he wanted to do was sit. It was kind of a difficult process to get him to stand and pee, but my 3-year-old refuses to sit and pee. I tried to do that with him and he's like, no. And maybe it's because he saw his brother stand. Maybe that has something to do with it, but, you know, kids can be finicky.
That's exactly what's happening in my house right now. The 2.5-year-old is toying with the idea of potty training, you know, getting used to what it looks like. He doesn't understand when I tell him to sit. He's like, no. He stands there and faces the toilet because that's what his 2 older brothers do. And unfortunately, that's what the 2-year-old girl wants to try.
Oh, no.
You can't win. One other tip for the parents who are with these multiples that we're raising, when it comes time to having everybody maybe in the bathroom at the same time and sort of controlling chaos a little, because that's my daily existence, I used a dry erase marker and drew pictures of each of the steps of the process on the mirror.
So
they could sort of, you know, because, you know, I can read. So I would draw a picture of a potty, then put a little number 1 next to it. And then number 2, I drew a picture of little undies, because then you pull up your undies, you know, whatever the steps are. You draw the little steps on the mirror with the dry erase marker so they can kind of stay on task.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you raise a good point, too. I mean, I think we didn't touch on it, but there are some great potty books.
Yeah.
And it talks about it in story form, mm-hmm. where, you know, here's the sequence of here, you know, you feel this, okay, and you get to wear potty pants, and you get to do this, and then you flush the toilet, and
yeah.
I think, you know, having pictures and yeah. stories and everything just to reinforce right. that the concept is a really great idea.
Yep. I agree.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. And this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And after the show, we'll explore some tips for potty training your twins on the go. For more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, newmommymedia.com.
It is time for a segment on the show we like to call Twin Oops. And it's where you lovely twin parents write in and tell us about some of the funny stories that you've experienced with your twins. So this one comes from Cindy, and Cindy lives in Delaware. She says, when my twins were about 4 weeks old, I was home alone with them and my just turned 2-year-old Connor. Everything that could possibly go wrong did in a matter of 15 minutes. Oh, been there, done that, right? First, Connor threw his oatmeal on the floor, getting it all over him and the cat in the process. I was trying to clean it up while listening to two babies cry. Then Colin starts spitting up everywhere, so I left the oatmeal and tried to clean him up. In the meantime, Connor throws a toy and hits Colin in the head, so he starts crying even louder. As all of this is going on, Kira starts to poop. It starts seeping out of her diaper and all over the bouncer. I take her upstairs to clean her up. After depositing Connor in his crib, debate whether or not just to throw out Kira's entire outfit because it was completely covered in poop, put her naked on a towel on the floor while I go to get a bag to put her outfit in. Come back to see that she has peed through the towel and onto our new carpet. Later, when I'm done crying, I call my mom to laugh about it all. Because honestly, all you can do is laugh at that point. I figure things couldn't get much worse than that after 15 minutes. Cindy, I love your story. Thanks so much for your honesty. And yeah, we've all been there, right? Especially those of us with twins, plus you have other siblings involved. And all I have to say is that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.